pray. Father, thanks for today. Thank you, God, that we've been praying for favor. We've been praying for your spirit to go to the east, the north, the south, and the west from this building and from our lives, God, that you would compel people to come here and find the hope of Christ. And so we ask that right now this room and this facility, God, from the parking lot on, is becoming a refuge, a safe haven, a sanctuary, God, for the people that you're drawing in. And so we pray that from the first greeting until the altar call, that every piece of it is now under your control. And we thank you, God, for lives being eternally changed. We thank you for the hope, the love, the faith that comes from you. And just pray that the worship would be pleasing to you, God, the message would honor you, and that everything would edify and glorify your name. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Good morning. Open your Bibles to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. It's where we were last week. We've been talking for a couple weeks on faith, and we'll be talking a few more weeks about faith. I want to kind of tell you about the week we've had and how it applies to this message a little bit, but you never know what a day is going to bring you. Amen? You may start out, you know, thinking you're great, going to have a great day, a great week, and it doesn't take but one set of blue lights pulling up behind you. Amen? Can mess a whole day up. I speak from experience. My wife and I were riding down the road Monday, and we had been out to Lynn Haven Mall just kind of spending the day together. We're riding home, and I have a souped-up 4Runner. Goes very fast. And saw a state trooper get on the highway behind me, and he was riding behind me, and I'm just kind of being Bob. And I said, I think I'm going to punch it, take off. And about that time, he hits the lights. And I said, oh my gracious, he's pulling me. So he pulls us over, and you know, he comes up, and I'm waiting for him on this side. He comes up on that side, knocks on the window, and he says, I need your license, registration. And I said, okay, you know, hand him my license. I said, what are you pulling me for? He said, well, your tags are expired. I was like, all right, not a big deal. He comes back and he says, Mr. Groves, your license is suspended. That's not funny at all, actually. And I said, what? He said, yeah, they were suspended in May. He said, you're driving on a suspended license. That'll be another ticket. And Sean's with me, and he says, Mr. Groves, you can't drive. So, Miss Groves, if you have a valid license, you can drive. And I said, well, what are license suspended for? He said, well, you're not carrying insurance on your vehicles, which we are. But anyway, he said, so let me have your license. And I said, well, she's on the same policy, so hers are going to be suspended, I guess. So he takes hers, comes back, Miss Groves, your license are suspended. And then he says, I'm not going to have your vehicle towed, but I will sit behind you until you bring someone up with a valid license to drive you out of here. So it was like a flashback for my mom about 30 years when I called and said, Mom, the police have me on this side of the road. She's like, oh my gosh, what have you done now? So anyway, she and my uncle come and get me, drive us home, and come to find out it was on a vehicle we sold actually a long time ago. But anyway, we go to DMV and deal with that, pay fines. I have a mandatory court date now, so I do feel somewhat more qualified to lead Genesis than I was a week ago. But also during this time, about a month ago, we took Ashton to the doctor just for some stomach acid reflux stuff, and the doctor's running tests, and the doctor says, we need to run an EKG. And of course, all at once, your world gets kind of spun up. And he says, something's wrong with his heart. And so he runs an EKG, and it prints out, and he comes back in, and he points to a couple blips, and he says, there's something definitely wrong here. We need to run further tests. And so we have to schedule my son with a heart specialist now. And so Tuesday, we take him to a heart specialist, and You know, the guy's a poker player, man. I mean, he's asking questions. He runs an EKG. He's got that. He's got the older one in front of him. You know, he puts stethoscope on, listens to his heart for a long time. You know, and you're trying to read his face. Is it good? Is it bad? You know, he just listens. He moves it like a half inch and listens. And he's asking all kinds of questions. My son, who, you know, he plays baseball. And, of course, you got all this stuff running through your brain. What could the implications of this mean? And he sits down and he says, okay, here's the conclusion. You have a perfect heart. And the EKGs don't show any abnormalities. The one that they said something was wrong, there's nothing wrong. So I don't see anything wrong. So you go forward to Thursday, and about 2 weeks ago, Sean found a mass that we had to deal with. And so she calls the doctor, and Thursday she goes to the doctor. And I had an appointment. I was doing a funeral for a friend of mine. And so Sean is there, and of course, you know, we're praying and wondering what that's all about. And when she gets out, she calls, you know, and like, okay, what's the deal? And she says, it's not a mass. It's, you know, it's fine. Everything is fine. And so all I'm trying to tell you is, you know, what Sean and I sat down and talked about Thursday was, in several ways, we had just a very topsy-turvy week. You know, we called it a week from hell, if you want to know what we called it. And our conclusion was that sometimes, whether it's going through the difficulty and, I mean, DMV is close to like what hell will be like. Amen. And whether it's going through that or, you know, mandatory court dates and spending money on stuff you don't really care to spend it on, it's your son and all these stuff going through your brain here, it's your wife and all that stuff. And here's what we said Thursday night, that as crazy as it's been, God's fingerprints are all over our lives. And you know, sometimes the truth is, that's when you're more aware of how great God can be and what he looks like in his ability than when everything is on autopilot. Amen? And amen. Amen. And so I want to talk to you today a few moments about faith. You know, how do you have faith in those moments? You know, because every one of us has moments like that, don't we? I mean, whether it's the blue lights or whether it's the doctor's report or it's an EKG or it's you found something that puts a question mark in your life that all at once you're unsure of the future, let alone tomorrow and so forth. How do you have faith in that moment? How do you hold on to God? How do you, though, you know, you've got a month between one EKG and the next, how do you still say, God's got this, you know, God's going to take care of it, and so forth and so on. Hebrews 11 and 1 is the verse I want to read. It's one we've read, I think, 3 weeks now. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But what I really want to do is put the emphasis on the first two words, now faith. Because that's the type of faith we need, is it not? When I'm in the midst of stuff, I don't need next week faith. I don't need to feel like I've got to get in touch with so-and-so and I get their voicemail and it's like, oh, I needed them to have some faith, you know? I mean, because I've got to have my own faith in the moments I need it, and you need it in those moments too, isn't that right? And so I want to talk a few moments about now faith, how to have now faith, and also kind of what messes now faith up. I mean, you know, what's some of the challenges you and I sometimes embrace and kind of, I don't know, bring into almost like habits of our lives that diminish our faith. And let's talk about those as well today. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, that you are so faithful. And the truth is, in the difficult times of our life, you are not diminished. You're as big then as you've ever been. And I pray, God, that each of us would walk out of here knowing how to develop our faith in greater capacity than maybe ever before, but especially that we would know how to have now faith in the moments we most desperately need it. I so thank you, God, for what you've already done in this room, and just thank you for settling in with us. You know our stories, you know our names, and I pray that you would speak to each of us in a way that makes sense to us. In Christ's name, amen. One of the acronyms they put on faith, F-A-I-T-H, is a fantastic adventure in trusting Him. And I mean, I would love to be there where it's just some crazy adventure walking with Christ. You know, like it's always like, what's around the corner, man? Isn't this fantastic? And yet, the truth is, part of this series is all about, I think we often have a disconnect between faith, between heaven and earth, and, you know, what is seen and what is not seen. And sometimes the tangible parts of our life, the truth is, they seem much more real than the God we can't see. Do you agree with that? And so here, faith is one of these things that the Bible promises us. In Romans 12:3, it says, God has distributed to every person a measure of faith. God has dealt to us a measure of faith. And what that simply means is, He has distributed a predetermined amount to every one of us. That's what it means. Every one of us has been given a starter kit of faith. It's like the lump, you know, that starts the big sourdough bread. We've all been given a piece of it. We all have enough for something. I don't know what that means, you know, whether we all have different amounts, but God knows how much you needed to start, and at least God gave you that much. So we all have faith. And then the Bible talks about types of faith. The Bible says that there's great faith. And what that means is superabundant faith. It means that in those difficult times, you not only have enough to get it done, you have some left over. It's like you believe God for ridiculous things, successfully so. That you believe, and that's just the way it is. And then the Bible talks about little faith. And when Christ chastises them for having little faith means this: lack of trust or not yet faith. It just means, you know, that you've walked through some things, and if you have little faith, for whatever reason, you've not developed it the way you should. And Christ would look and say, are you serious? You still have little faith. Like, don't you remember what I got you through? Don't you remember how I got you through this? Your faith should increase by what God's got us through. Amen? And so Christ would look at us, you know, and look at the apostles and even say, are you serious? Oh, you of little faith, like it's underdeveloped. You haven't made it grow on the experiences I've walked you through. And I think most of us would agree that I'd love to have great faith, but I'm not sure I can claim to have great faith. If you want me to be very honest and vulnerable, I would love to say, come to me, man. I've got it. But the truth is, it's hard to connect the dots sometimes. It's hard to believe when it spits out this, that the conclusion is always going to be good. I'm just like you. I wrestle with this stuff too. And the Bible not only talks about great faith and little faith. Listen to this term. The Bible talks about littleness of faith. And that's completely different. Great faith is exceeding. Little faith is not yet developed, but littleness of faith, it's not a not yet faith. It's almost like an affliction to our faith. It's where we potentially sabotage our own faith. To where instead of looking at where God was faithful and He got us here and He was faithful again, it's like we side on doubt and despair and almost come to it was coincidental and all these things, to where instead of building it for what may be around the corner, we sabotage it in our own life, to where when we should have more faith, not only do we not have little faith, we have like stunted faith. Like it's just not done anything. It's almost like it's sick. To where we participate with that and potentially poke our own holes in our own faith. And I know without asking, none of us would want to be carrying around little faith or littleness of faith. Amen? In Matthew 17, and you may want to write some of these down or however you take notes, we opened the series a couple weeks ago with a story about a man that came to Christ with his son. And his son was having like seizures or something, and the apostles prayed for the son and nothing happened. Remember? And the guy comes to Christ and he says, if you could help, I need your help right now. And what Christ says to him is, if you could believe, then all things are possible right now. And this is what the guy says. I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, I know what I'm seeing and I know what I'm believing for, and there's a conflict right now. Well, in Matthew 17, that same story is there. It was Mark 9, and Matthew 17. Same story, and it's recorded that these people come to Christ with this guy, and they can't cast him out. And Jesus takes care of it. And in Matthew 17, the dialogue goes on. In verse 19, they go to Christ, the apostles do, and they ask him this: why couldn't we do that? In other words, we believe for other things, but what was the deal with that? Why couldn't we have faith for that situation? And this is what Christ answers. This is a version that's a little more correct to the original, but listen to this, because this is going to help you make sense of a verse that you've heard hundreds of times. Why could we not do that? And here's Christ's answer. He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. The size of it. It's not what it should be. It's the only time in the Bible this word is used, by the way. No other time is this word used. The littleness of your faith. Now listen to what he says. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be thou removed, and it will be removed. Nothing will be impossible for you. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? I mean, it's like the size of a pinhead. It's tiny. I would love to think my faith is bigger than a mustard seed, wouldn't you? And yet it's as powerful as that herb, where it says, he says, if you just have that much, it's so powerful that you can deal with the most difficult circumstances in your life by faith and handle them appropriately. Why could we not do that? And he said, because of the littleness of your faith. Because somewhere within, you can't believe for that. You can believe me for that. You can believe me for that. And they did. They walked out and prayed for people and they were healed. I mean, read the Bible. It's what it says. But they got to this one thing where they couldn't believe for that. Now here's my conclusion. I think most of us, if not all of us, have a I can't believe for that part of our life. How many would agree with that? You know, it's like, I believe God for that, and I can believe God for you. That's what's crazy, is sometimes I can believe God for you more than I can believe God for me. And it's almost like there's this one little corner, there's this one little thing. It's like, I believe God can do this, and I know what God can do for you, and I know what he did for you, but I'm not sure he can do that for me. And every one of us that just raised our hands has a I don't know if God can do that for me piece of our life. A littleness of our faith area. To where in our own mind, I mean, why would we have that? Whether it's personal, relational, marital, emotional, an addiction, spiritual, our home, our family, our career, our job, our business. I mean, why would we put God into one little corner? It's like, I don't know that God can do that. I mean, part of the reason is our logic. We want it all to figure out in our own mind. When we can't come to the right conclusions, then we ramp up the degree of difficulty for God, do we not? Or the labels that the world puts on it makes it sound more difficult for God, right? It's like, oh, you have what? Oh. And it's all at once. It's like, can't believe God for that. Now, I believe God for your healing, but once you told me it was that, now I'm not sure because, or we'll talk about degree of difficulty or tenure. Pastor, pray for me. I've been struggling with this for that long. It's like, oh. You know, or in our own brain, we know our stories and we know this has been in our life this long, and we know how hard we've tried, and all at once it's like, I don't know if I can believe God for that anymore. And this is really where this whole series got started, sitting around my dining room table. We were talking about faith, and this is what came up. It's not that we can't believe God, it's that we can't believe God for that. And most of us have a that. How do we get there? How do we get past this stuff? Some of the causes for littleness of faith. One of them is the problem that we do have a little bit of control in the situation. You see, when it becomes totally out of our control, we have to have faith, right? It's like, what do you have to have? Well, I'm helpless. I have faith. It's like, it don't sound like faith. Oh, it's faith. It's like, you know, we're just arrested by it. But when we have a little bit of control, that's when the real test comes in, is it not? Because then it's really a matter of faith. Are you going to wait on God? And here's what I really think it is. I think it's more a matter of not so sure we have faith in God, because certainly we do. I think at times it's more, do we trust God with that? Is God's will better than my will? Because if he doesn't get something done, I've got to get in the mix here because the clock is ticking, right? Or, I mean, we start coming to our own conclusions. We're praying by faith, but nothing is happening. And so all at once, we think we've got to get our hands in it and start fixing it. And really, it's not whether God can, it's will God. Or do I trust God? Or do I trust God's will for me better than my plan for me? You see, when it's totally out of our hands, we have to trust God, right? But when we know we can get in the mix, isn't that a harder test? Hello? Remember Abraham and Sarah? Old Testament couple. They were married, and Abraham, his name is Abram at the time. He's 87 years old and doesn't have a kid. It's a great time to start a family, don't you think? God comes to him and he just says, hey, step outside. And he steps outside and he says, see all the stars? He says, that's how your descendants are going to be. Your children, your lineage, you're going to have that many. And Abram, it says, he laughed. And thought, you know, there's no way. And I went back and looked. It's not an angel he's talking to. It's God. He laughs at God. Abraham laughs. His wife laughs. And then it says that since they didn't know how it was going to work, because Sarah, his wife, was barren. She was not capable of having children. Now the story gets a little more difficult. When you can't have a baby, how do you have a baby? You can't. And so they got their hands in the mix and they concluded they needed to help God. And their conclusion was, if you're going to have that many kids, apparently it's not with Sarah, so you need to start having them with her. And that's what they did. He had a child with another woman to help God. And you know what God did then? Instead of performing the miracle through Sarah, he waited 13 years. Now Abram is 100 years old and still childless with the one that was promised, Sarah. And God came back to him and said, guess what? I didn't change my mind. You messed with the program. She's going to have a baby. And you know what Sarah did? Say it louder. She laughed. Because now he's 100 and she's 90. And guess what happened? About a year later, they have this boy named Isaac. And God fulfilled his promise. What I'm trying to tell you is, if we'll learn how to walk in the timing of God and not mess with it, God can do what God says he can do. But when we mess with it, there's a sequential ripple effect that we should have waited and learned and all at once. Now God says, you know what? I didn't change. You changed. His promises are still good. Amen? And so here's what God does. God then tells Abram, I want you to put your boy, Isaac, on the altar and offer him back to me. It's like the big joke from heaven. I won't let you have a kid, now I want him back. And when you read in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame chapters, you know what it says about Abraham now? It says he brought Isaac and laid him before God. And this is what it says. He concluded that God was able to raise him back up if necessary. But no matter what, he was going home with the boy. This guy that laughed at God now has a faith that's ridiculous in God. Isn't that where we want to get? Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. You see, the challenge is, I don't want to have littleness of faith, but I have to believe God when I want to mess it up. Do I believe God's timing? Do I believe God's answers? Do I believe God for that? Because the clock is ticking, the calendar is moving, my life is getting older, the situation's getting worse. I see no godly activity. I can't figure this out, but I know if I just did this, then that would start something in this situation. Littleness of faith for that. And they said, Jesus, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we believe in that situation? And I'm going to tell you a few things the Bible talks about on how to have greater faith. The first thing Christ says is, you need to pray and fast. For whatever it is you're believing God for, or the I'm trying to believe for that, you need to pray about it. And you're like, well, I do pray about it. No, I mean pray. I'm not talking about driving down the road and throwing a prayer up on I-64. I mean spending time on your face before God to where He hears the heart cry of your soul. I'm talking about praying. Because prayer is not only talking to God. Prayer ultimately is giving God time to speak as well. Because believe it or not, when you're praying, if you'll be quiet from time to time, God can drop something in your spirit that will be very directing in your life in that area. And to fast. I mean, I don't want hands, but when's the last time you fasted? Unless there's a medical reason for not fasting, when's the last time you fasted for something from God? To push the plate back and say, you know what? I want to see God move so desperately in this area that the greatest thing I know I can give up is food. And I'm going to spend that time with God seeking His will in this. That's what He said. They said, why could we not believe for that? He said, this only happens by prayer and fasting. You see, I believe that your faith just skyrockets when you start fasting for something. I don't know what else you can do any more desperate than fasting for something from God. Doesn't mean you strong arm Him or twist His arm or anything. It just means your faith and your ability to trust God through something is different than if you just 5-cent prayer it and barely go through it. So, prayer and fasting. Also, the way we grow our faith is by owning the Word. Your Bible should be marked up with your marks in it. You know that? Here's what the Bible says. Consequently, faith comes from, born out of, hearing the message, the Word. And the message comes from the Word of Christ. You see, you can come to me and say, hey, I'm going through something, Bob. What do you think? And that's exactly what you get, what Bob thinks. You can take it to God. I don't think it'll get you anywhere. Hey, here's what Bob thinks, God. But what does God think about it? And I promise you, no matter what the topic is in your life, this has something about it. I guarantee it. No matter what topic you could bring up, God has something to say about it. You may be lonely, you may be angry, you may be addicted, you may be struggling, you may be trying to figure out finances, your home, your marriage, your kids. It's all in here. And if you would go to God's Word and hear what it says, and then begin to apply the Word of God, your faith will change because the Word of God is objective. You know, mostly we'll go listen to what we want to hear from people. Isn't that true? And if you don't say what I want you to hear, I just won't ask you anymore. I'll ask someone else. And we surround ourselves with what we want to hear. And the Bible says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces and it reveals, and it can go to a place in your life nothing else can get to. Faith comes by hearing. It's born out of, is what it means, out of hearing the Word of God. And the Word came from Christ. That's what the Bible says. You want to have greater faith? Use the Word for your situation. Everybody all right? And here's the challenge. Obey what the Word of God tells you to do. Here's what it says. Faith without works is dead. You see, faith without activity is not faith at all. That's what it means. And so the truth of it is, only what you do by faith, the actions of your life, reveal the degree of your faith. It doesn't matter what you say, it's what you do. Faith without action is dead. And so it's when you start to act on the Word that your faith begins to be revealed. Your actions are the fruit of the faith you have inside. Does that make sense? And so the only way you know if you start to have greater faith is, are you obeying God for what He said to you? If you disobey God, or you read a scripture and it's like, I just don't like that. You know, it's a faith issue. It's a trust issue. And if you read and God says, hey, stand still and see that I am God. And you say, wow, let's just say for a moment, God puts that in your heart today. Be still and know that I am God. And you just know that God said that to you. Well, guess what that means? Guess what be still means? Be still. And in your situation, if He said be still, what would be still mean? Say it. It's not a trick question. It means don't do anything. Don't mess it up. Don't manipulate it. Just be still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Or if God said, you open the Bible and it says, forgive your enemies. That's dumb. But He puts that in your heart. You need to forgive. Guess what you have to do? And you can't move off of it. You can't work around it. It's you now are responsible for that. Sean and I mean, in the area of forgiveness, you know, we had a couple people contact us recently that I knew had just beat the mess out of Bob. That's just what happened with the story. And I knew it. And they contacted Sean and just said, hey, can we meet you two? And you know where we met, right? Starbucks. See, that, y'all are more godly with Starbucks than anything. So we went to Starbucks, and the girl says, I want to talk. And she said, I need to ask your forgiveness. She said, God has revealed some things to me. And I was like, you dirty, rotten. I will never forgive you. I flipped the table over. I just looked at her. I was like, nothing on my account. I said, just so you hear it out of my words, you're forgiven. I'm good. Let's move on with life, you know. But when God tells you to do something, it's not always going to be easy. Right? But the faith is, will you obey what God is telling you to do? You want to have greater faith? Obey what God says in the Word. I want to close. Trey? I want to give you some homework. I've given you homework every week for the last 3 weeks. I want to give you homework. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's exactly what it means. We walk, we progress, we mature by faith, not by what we see. And so, What I'd like you to do this week is, in that area, I can't believe God for that area. I would like you to really identify, what's the challenge there? Why can't you believe God? I mean, what is your conclusion? What are the tapes playing in your brain? One of the points that I skipped today for time, you know, another thing you can identify in the difficult times is what you really trust in. You will always turn to what you trust in. It may be alcohol, it may be drugs, it may be a person, it may be something else, but you will always turn to what you believe most in, I promise you. And so maybe in this area, instead of turning to God and just releasing it, you keep turning to something else. And so I just want to ask you this week, two things. One, whatever it is you can't believe God for, ask yourself, what's causing me to have littleness of faith here? I mean, why can't I believe you for this, God? What are my conclusions? What are the wrestlings and the arguments that I have? Because I guarantee you have some. It may be too big for God, or you've had it too long, or you just know too many people that this is destroyed, or you've seen this happen in other marriages and they didn't get through it, or whatever it is, you got a tape plan. You have no idea, Pastor, how bad I've sinned, or whatever it is. And then the second thing I would like you to do is, we walk by faith, not by sight. I would like you to find a place that you know you are walking by faith. It may be you've never stepped and God just says, okay, here's what I want you to do. By faith, whatever. And I want you, I mean, it may be for some of us, just a baby step would be like the Grand Canyon right now. But do it. Just take a step of faith. You know, for some of you, it may be marital, your marriage. God will say, hey, just do this. And you're thinking, that sorry dog, the last thing I should do is that. Just do it. You know? Maybe you're trying to reconcile with your kids or your parents or something. And God would say, just call them. I haven't called them in 9 years. They don't call me. I'm not calling them. Call them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you forgive them. Maybe, I mean, whatever it would be, maybe you're struggling with alcohol or drugs or some addiction, and God would say, hey, go get rid of it when you leave here today. And it's like, get rid of it. I can't get rid of it. Go get rid of it. By faith, just take a step of faith. Say hi to your neighbor. Buy lunch for a stranger. Do something anonymous. Whatever it is, I want everyone here, before you get back in this room next Sunday, to take a step of faith. And you'll know when you take it. Don't, when you're done, don't just, hey, attention everyone, I just took a step of faith. Just know between you and God that you said yes. Faith grows by faith. That's how it works. Next week we'll be talking about the character of God and what you can really trust in. But I want you this week, take a step of faith. Wrestle with why you can't believe God for that. Write them down if you have to, and then take them to God and say, God, I can't get over that. Please help me with this, God. I believe, help my unbelief right now. Is this okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for letting us be here today. I've had those, I can't believe God for that, pieces of my life too. Things that seemed unobtainable and maybe almost like just not for me. See other people get stuff and answers and all, and you know all the tapes and the stuff we play in our brain, God. And so I pray, God, that you would help every one of us as treasured children of yours to sit down in your presence this week and really ask ourselves, why don't we believe you for that? Why don't we trust you for that? What's in the way? What's being said in our brain and our heart that just keeps us from obtaining that, God, or releasing it to you? And I pray, God, as we stay in your word this week, that every one of us will be revealed a step of faith. And that every one of us will have the courage to take it, God. It may require, us digging deeper than we ever have with you, but give us the courage, God. And man, give us the moment where we get to smile. No fireworks, just smile, God, knowing we've been obedient to our Father. And so I thank you, God, for what you're going to help us do. Genesis, as we pray for a moment, I've asked you to do this a couple times. Would you, if I've been in your junk drawer a little bit today and you have I can't believe God for that moment, would you just kind of in your own way just lift your hand, not for me, but toward God, like you're reaching out to him and that you're trusting he's going to reach back. Would you just do that? It's not a big deal. Nobody worries about your hand, but God, we're reaching out for you right now. And we're trusting that our faith, the handle into nothing, is grabbing hold of something right now. In lives and homes and marriages and families and careers and situations, God, addictions, things are going to be different, God, by faith. We need some now faith, God. And I pray that when we walk out of here, we have it. We thank you for it. And every one of us would say, amen. Let's give God a ridiculous hand clap of praise today. I know some of you, it's probably your first time here. You know, we don't do an offering in here. Offering is taken care of on the way out. But if you're first time here, we want your offering to be a guest card today. If you didn't get one, they're on tables there. Just let us say thanks. You know, it's our way of being able to get back in touch with you and thank you for being here. We have next Sunday is Halloween. We've rented part of the facility here outside so we could do a community event. And I know we still need some people to sign up to help. We need some, we're doing the trunk or treat things, and we need, whatever it is, it's right out there. We need help with that. We need candy. We need, what kind of candy is that? Reese's cups, yes. But in all seriousness, plan on being here, plan on helping us, because it's the first thing we've done that we've advertised to the community with Genesis. And we want to be able to minister and relate to them well. And t-shirts, it's the last day they're on sale. Hoodies, sweatshirts, and all that. We're going to order them tomorrow, so if that's something you want. But we're serving a great God, you know that? We're serving a God that loves us more than we love ourselves. And this is what he says. He has a plan for your life. And so I want you to believe that today. Let's pray for our giving today. Father, thank you so much for letting us be here. Freely we have received, freely we want to give, God. We want others to know what we know. We want other people to come into this, God, and find Christ as the answer to their lives. And so we pray that you would receive our giving, God. It's simply seed for your kingdom, and that you would bless it. You would break it and multiply it and use it for souls and lives to be eternally changed. And that the gift, God, the giver, you would bless them in very special ways. Open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that cannot be contained. Thank you for letting us be here today. Sing it.